Michael Streisguth is the editor of a book called Ring of Fire, The Johnny Cash Reader. It's a collection of 32 articles about the man in black, and it includes contributions from Cash himself. Streisguth met Johnny Cash backstage at a concert in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, in 1985.
I was in awe. I suppose anybody who meets Johnny Cash for the first time, the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth time, remains in awe of Johnny Cash. But what I remember most about meeting him was not my, I suppose, my own interaction. It was watching him speak with an elderly man, whom I assumed to be a retired coal miner or steel worker, and Johnny Cash was holding his hands and examining his wrinkles and calluses and said, "These are working hands, chopping wood hands." And that really kind of demonstrated to me his concern, his interest in the working person.
Yeah, it was a guy who really knew what he was talking about.
Born in Dyess, Arkansas, to a sharecropping family, he knew hard work.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
One of Johnny Cash's first big hits, a real crossover, was a song he recorded for Sun Records. What was so different about I Walk the Line?
I believe that it jutted from the 1956 landscape. I mean, even though Elvis Presley was dominating the charts with his rock and roll, what Presley was doing had a sheen on it. It was well produced. It was done out of studios in Nashville and New York. And Johnny Cash, in this age of finely produced rock and roll and the pop music of Perry Como and Teresa Brewer, jutted from the landscape. I mean, there was this craggy voice, a lonely voice. And I think that's what caught the ears of Americans.
You were talking about Johnny Cash's background. In fact, in your book, you've got articles about his life as well as his music. There's something in one of the early chapters about his brother, Jack. Can you tell me about his brother's death?
His brother, Jack, was very close to him. He was an older brother. And one Saturday morning, Jack was heading out to a mill where he worked. And he was noodling around, not really wanting to go. And John, J.R., as he was known then, the Johnny didn't come until Sam Phillips at Sun Records dubbed that, was trying to get his brother to go fishing. Let's go down to the fishing hole. Forget about the job. And Jack went to his job nonetheless, and Johnny went fishing by himself. And while Johnny was on his way back from fishing, his father pulled up in a car and said, "Jack's been in an accident. You better come with me." And his father had Jack's clothing, which had been ripped by a saw blade at the mill where Jack worked. And in fact, the blade had also penetrated Jack's stomach, and he died a few days later.
Wow.
And I think this left an impression on Cash, obviously. I mean, who wouldn't be impressed by one's brother's death? But I think that those final days, Jack was coming in and out of consciousness, and he was having visions of glory, of the other side, of the angels and God waiting for him. And I think that helped form Cash's faith. I mean, in seeing Jack's visions, in knowing Jack's faith, many thought that, in his family, thought that Jack would be a minister. Cash developed his own view of his God, and the event, I think, solidified his faith. But it also left him with an acute sense of guilt that plagued him. He talked about it many times throughout his life, that he didn't try hard enough to get Jack to stay behind that day when he went off to the mill, that he should have just grabbed his hand and dragged him to the fishing hole. That never left him, that sense of guilt.
I guess, and you wouldn't want this to happen in your life, but it seems to have helped create the character that people recognized when they heard Johnny Cash sing.
I think you're right. There was a darkness in Johnny Cash, and I think, and of course in his music, and I think through experiences such as that, seeing the death of his brother, seeing poverty around him in rural Arkansas, knowing what it was like to flee one's home as a flood approached, as it did in 1937. He wrote the song Big River based on that experience. All of these unsettling experiences, I think, balled up in Cash and produced that darkness that we do hear occasionally in his music. Now, there's also great joy in his music. But I think when we think about Cash, we think about the man in black and what is dark oftentimes about his music.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around a bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps a-rolling on down to San Antonio.
The first Johnny Cash song I ever heard, I think, was Folsom Prison Blues. It's kind of the quintessential Johnny Cash song, isn't it?
I think it is, because it first of all, expresses that experience of the individual who's disenfranchised in society. And Cash constantly did that. So he took the role of the prisoner, that lonely prisoner who hears the lonesome train filled with prosperous people chugging by outside the walls of the prison. And it also speaks of redemption, that prisoner is seeking redemption. He's seeking life outside the prison walls. And a great theme through many of Cash's songs is redemption. Of course, Cash has a rebel image, and just taking that character, the prisoner character, is in line with that rebel image. So I think it is quintessential. And I think Folsom Prison Blues remains one of his most memorable songs because of that.
Part of the thing about that recording that is so remarkable is how clearly the prisoners he's singing to seem to identify with him.
He recorded that song on January 13, 1968, for the second time. He had recorded it for Sun back in the 1950s, but when he went to Folsom Prison in California and recorded that, it became probably the best-known version of the song. It certainly did very well in the charts, et cetera, et cetera. But you're right. When he utters that line, "I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die," the prisoners just went nuts. And I think it was just the whole recklessness of the line, the rebellion of the line. The prisoners ate it up.
When I was just a baby, my mama told me, "Son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns." But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry.
You don't think of Johnny Cash as a political singer, but in fact, he was one of the few country singers who, at his time anyway, was willing to deal with social and political issues. In fact, he recorded a bunch of protest songs.
He did. I mean, he sang songs in protest of the treatment of the American Indian. He sang songs in protest of the condition of prisoners. He sang songs in protest of the Vietnam War and on down the line. And just to continue on that point, one doesn't think of Cash necessarily as being political. But, you know, I'd like to propose that Johnny Cash at Folsom Prison, which he recorded again in 1968, is really one of the quintessential albums of the 1960s, and I don't think it's given its due. Of course, you know, if I were to ask you, Jim, what are some of the quintessential albums of the 1960s?
Yeah, you might come up with Jefferson Airplane or Jimi Hendrix, but probably not Johnny Cash. I don't know, though. That Folsom Prison might be right up there.
Well, certainly one of the themes of the 1960s was solidarity with the disenfranchised and oppressed peoples. And I think a lot of musical acts in the 60s, and Bob Dylan among them, certainly paid lip service to that issue. But here was Cash in front of 2,000 inmates in solidarity with them. It just doesn't get any more visceral than that. Mm-hmm. And I think is one of the loudest statements on record, social statements on record of the 1960s.
Yeah. Now, Johnny Cash won three posthumous Country Music Association awards. They were his first since 1969.
I think that there was a great feeling of guilt on the part of the country music industry that it had ignored Cash for so long. And I think it was makeup time at the most recent CMA Awards.
But is that all it was? I mean, he won for Best Album. He won for the song Hurt. He won for Best Single, Best Video. I've listened to Hurt a couple of times, and it's a pretty powerful thing to listen to.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real.
It is powerful. And if one sees the video, which has been quite popular, and the video, I think, is what has called attention to that song. He is pictured there near the very end of his life. And those images are juxtaposed with images from earlier years when Cash is vital and young. And I think that caused many to reflect on Cash's mortality. The song was written by Trent Reznor of Nine Inch Nails and originally recorded by Nine Inch Nails. And Cash called it the greatest anti-drug song he ever heard. There's an expression of regret and physical decline based on that drug use. But, you know, I would point people to some other songs on that album, that last album. For instance, the title track, which is The Man Comes Around. And that song was written by Cash. And it's Cash's take on the apocalypse and what that will look like.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down.
I think Cash was always at his best when he was writing from his experiences. He had this ability to look at complex events and feelings and distill them and to come up with lyrics that could communicate that quite simply to his audience. And he was always aware of who his audience was, the man down on the farm, the steel worker, et cetera, et cetera. And when Cash began to get away from writing, I don't think his music was as powerful.
But do you think it was that ability that was really at the heart of his ability to appeal to so many different people? And it wasn't just the man down on the farm. He was popular in the rock and roll years. He was popular in the protest years of the 60s and then again in the 90s. A lot of different kinds of people liked listening to Johnny Cash.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think Cash spoke to people, as you say, on all levels. But I think he was able to do that because oftentimes that music came from his soul. It came from his experiences. And he could sing passionately and clearly about those experiences. I think what happened during the American years in the 1990s, which we're discussing, was an attempt to market Cash to a young audience. And that meant pairing Cash with a lot of new music, and much of it was fantastic. And even the performance on Hurt is fantastic. I'm just arguing that it was more perhaps about creating an image rather than Johnny Cash music. The image of Cash, the drug user, the unfaithful husband, the rebel, was sort of taken out of the closet when Cash joined American Records. And that was marketed to a younger generation that listened to music that had a lot of sort of anger and rebellion and hatred in it. So Cash sort of became the godfather of gangster rap in the 1990s.
Michael Streisguth is the editor of Ring of Fire, the Johnny Cash Reader.